The Akatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're here to, you know, break down big ideas into knowledge you can actually use. And today, wow, we are tackling maybe the biggest question out there, the ultimate puzzle, really. The relationship between your conscious self, your mind, and your physical brain and body. We're diving into Jonathan Westfall's really excellent examination, the mind-body problem.
It's the absolute core mystery of what it means to be human, isn't it? At its simplest, the mind-body problem asks, what is the connection between that private, subjective world of your thoughts, your feelings, your memories, what philosophers call the mind, and the, you know, objective physical stuff of your body, especially the brain?
Right. And if you're thinking, oh, that's just philosophy, abstract stuff, you're missing how incredibly relevant this is, like right now.
Absolutely. This isn't just dusty old books. It fundamentally shapes how we approach really critical modern issues. I mean, if we can't even properly define consciousness, how do we diagnose and treat mental health? How do we think about personal identity if our bodies are always changing?
And the huge one, artificial intelligence.
Exactly. How will we ever know if we've created a truly conscious AI, not just a clever mimic? Westfall's book gives us the essential toolkit to even start thinking about those questions properly.
Okay, let's talk about the author then. Who is Jonathan Westfall? What makes him a good guide for this? Well, this philosophical minefield.
Well, Westfall is a very distinguished philosopher. He's got that analytical background, degrees from Oxford, specializing in philosophy of mind and perception. But what makes him so perfect for this book is that he's not really trying to push his own solution.
So he's not trying to sell us on dualism or materialism. He's more like a referee, giving us the tools to judge the arguments.
Precisely. His strength is that analytical rigor. He dissects the logic of each argument with incredible precision. He's looking for hidden assumptions, flawed reasoning. He's acting as a critical guide, showing us the strengths and, maybe more importantly, the weaknesses of every major attempt to solve this puzzle. Clarity and rigor are his goals.
Okay, so if he's showing us why it's so hard, maybe impossible to solve easily, what's the main goal of the mind-body problem then?
The book is essentially a guided tour through the history of the problem. He makes it accessible, definitely, but his core point is to demonstrate why it's so incredibly difficult, so intractable. He's showing that maybe, just maybe, our current concepts aren't up to the task.
Intractable because every solution, no matter how smart it seems, just runs into a major wall.
That's exactly it. Westfall argues pretty convincingly that every significant proposed solution, you know, from Descartes' dualism way back when to modern physicalism, has deep, maybe even fatal, flaws. So the book's mission isn't to give the answer, but to map out the territory, show why the mystery of consciousness is still so powerful, and maybe make us question the questions themselves.
And he starts us right where this whole modern debate really kicked off, back in the 17th century with René Descartes. Let's dig into his idea, substance dualism.
Right. Descartes really set the stage. He proposed these two fundamentally different kinds of stuff or substances. On one hand, you've got the mind, the res cogitans. It's non-physical, doesn't take up space. It's your private thoughts and feelings. And on the other hand, there's the body, the res extensa. It's physical, extended in space, follows the laws of physics, just, you know, matter.
And you can see the appeal, right? It feels right. It matches that intuition that the real me is this thinking thing inside, separate from the physical body. It's sort of pilots. But if they're completely different substances, how did Westfall show this model pretty much fails right away?
It crashes on the rocks of the problem of interaction. It's the killer question. If the mind isn't physical, how can it possibly cause anything to happen in the physical body? Like, how does a non-physical decision make your physical arm move?
Yeah, and the other way too. How does something physical, like light hitting your eye, turn into a non-physical subjective experience of seeing?
Exactly. It's that central puzzle. How can a thought, which has no mass or location, push a nerve or muscle? It puts this impenetrable barrier right where the mind and body are supposed to meet.
The classic ghost in the machine problem. And that failure, that inability to explain how mind affects body, is really why philosophers started moving towards materialism, wasn't it?
Absolutely. If dualism gets stuck trying to explain the ghost, well, materialism just gets rid of the ghost altogether. Physicalism, or materialism, basically says everything that exists is physical, or depends completely on the physical. No spooky non-physical stuff. And the first big materialist attempt to explain the mind was behaviorism.
Behaviorism. That was pretty radical.
Yeah.
It basically said, look, if the mind is this private inner world we can't observe, let's just ignore it for science. Behaviorists argued mental states aren't inner feelings at all. They're just patterns of behavior we can see or tendencies to behave in certain ways.
Right. So saying you're in pain is just the sum of the observable things, wincing, crying out, avoiding the source of pain.
But Westfall points out this collapses pretty quickly because it completely ignores subjective experience, what it actually feels like.
Yeah. The classic counterexample is the Super Spartan thought experiment. Imagine someone who feels excruciating pain, but has been trained, maybe from birth, never to show any outward sign. No flinching, no groaning, nothing.
So the Super Spartan is clearly in agony inside.
Right. But behaviorism, strictly following its own rules about observation, would have to say they're not in pain because the required behavior isn't there.
It confuses the outward signs for pain with the actual inner feeling of pain. Okay, so if looking purely at outward behavior doesn't work, where did materialism go next?
Well, naturally, they looked inside the head, into the brain itself. This led to the mind-brain identity theory. This became really popular, especially, you know, mid-20th century when neuroscience was taking off. The theory is simple and bold. Mental states are identical to brain states.
Literally the same thing.
Literally.
Yeah.
So the feeling of pain is the firing of C fibers in your brain in the same way that lightning is an electrical discharge. One and the same phenomenon, just described differently.
That sounds scientifically plausible. Very neat and tidy. But you mentioned Westfall shows this runs into trouble too. Something about being too chauvinistic.
Yeah. The big critique is multiple realizability, which Hillary Putnam famously argued. Think about it. If pain is identical only to human C fiber firing, then logically, nothing else could feel pain. An alien with silicon-based neurons, nope. A sophisticated future AI can't feel pain, according to strict identity theory.
But that feels wrong, doesn't it? We can easily imagine, say, an octopus feeling pain, even though its brain is totally different from ours, or maybe an advanced robot.
Exactly. If it's possible for different physical systems to realize or instantiate the same mental state like pain, then that mental state cannot be identical to only one specific physical state. Like C-fiber firing.
It's too narrow, too human-centric. Okay, so that limitation, the problem of different hardware potentially running the same mental software, led to the next big theory.
Yes, it led directly to functionalism, which is probably the most influential materialist view today. Functionalism was designed specifically to handle multiple realizability, it says. Let's define mental states not by what they're made of, like brain cells or silicon chips, but by what they do, their causal role in a system.
Ah, the input-output relationship.
Precisely. It's about the function. What causes the state input, like tissue damage? What internal states does it interact with, like beliefs or desires? And what does it cause output, like wincing or saying ouch?
This is where the computer analogy comes in, right? Mind is like software, brain is like hardware.
That's the classic analogy. The same software, say, a pain program that registers damage and triggers avoidance, could theoretically run on different hardware platforms where there's a human brain, an alien brain, or a complex computer.
Functionalism seems pretty powerful then. It handles multiple realizability. It fits with cognitive science. Why didn't everyone just say, okay, problem solved?
Well, because we run into that familiar problem again, subjective experience. Consciousness. Does fulfilling a function automatically mean you're conscious? Westfall brings up John Searle's famous Chinese room argument here. It's a major challenge to functionalism.
Right. The Chinese room. Can you walk us through that quickly?
Sure. Imagine you, an English speaker who doesn't know any Chinese, are locked in a room. You get batches of Chinese symbols slid under the door. That's the input. Inside, you have a huge rule book written in English that tells you exactly how to match these incoming symbols with other Chinese symbols from baskets you have in the room. You follow the rules perfectly, look up the right symbols, and slide them back out under the door. That's the output.
Okay. So from the outside, it looks like whoever or whatever is in the room understands Chinese perfectly. They're having an intelligent conversation.
Exactly. The system, you plus the room plus the rule book, functions perfectly as if it understands Chinese. It passes the Turing test for understanding Chinese. Mm-hmm. But you, the person inside manipulating the symbols, you don't understand a single word of Chinese, right? You're just following rules, manipulating symbols based on their shape, their syntax, not their meaning.
So Searle's point is that the function manipulating symbols correctly isn't the same as genuine understanding or conscious awareness of meaning.
That's the core objection Westfall highlights. Functionalism seems to equate the function with the understanding, but the Chinese room suggests you can have the function without the actual conscious experience, the semantics, the what it's like to understand.
Hmm. It really does feel like we keep circling back to that subjective part, the inner feeling that gets lost in these objective third-person theories. Okay, let's step back. After going through all these attempts, dualism, behaviorism, identity theory, functionalism, what are the main takeaways, the key themes Westfall wants us to grasp?
Well, the first, and maybe the biggest, is the persistence of the hard problem. This just keeps coming up. David Chalmers famously made this distinction. The easy problems are things science is good at, like explaining how the brain processes information, how it discriminates stimuli, integrates data, controls behavior.
Okay, the mechanics of the brain.
Right. But the hard problem, the one none of these theories really crack, is explaining why all that physical processing is accompanied by subjective experience, by qualia.
Qualia, that's the technical term for the raw feels, right? The redness of red, the taste of chocolate.
Exactly. The what it's like aspect of consciousness. Why does processing information in a certain way feel like anything at all from the inside? Westfall shows how materialist theories struggle profoundly to explain, let alone reduce, that first-person subjective quality to objective third-person facts about brain states or functions.
Which leads nicely into the second theme, the rejection of reductionism. Westfall's whole book really serves as a critique of trying to boil the mind down entirely to just brain activity.
Yeah, he demonstrates again and again that when you try to reduce the higher-level phenomenon, mind, consciousness, to the lower-level one, neurons firing, functional roles, something crucial seems to get lost in translation. You can give a perfect neuroscientific description of C-fiber activity, but that description doesn't seem to capture the ouchness of pain itself. The reduction feels like it leaves out the very thing we're trying to explain.
And the third theme you mentioned earlier.
The tension between perspectives. Ultimately, the mind-body problem might be so hard because it represents a fundamental clash between two ways of knowing. There's the first person, subjective way you know your own thoughts and feelings directly from the inside. And there's a third-person, objective way science studies the brain and the physical world from the outside.
And Westfall suggests maybe these two perspectives can't be fully unified using our current scientific or philosophical tools alone.
That seems to be the implication. That gap between the subjective, what it's like, and the objective, what it is, might be a fundamental feature of reality as we experience it, something that resists easy explanation within a purely objective framework.
Okay, Westfall doesn't just critique. He offers these really concise conceptual points. Let's highlight a few key ideas from the book that capture these critiques.
Sure. Even if they aren't direct quotes, they represent the core arguments.
Let's start with his take on dualism's main failing.
Right. The core idea against dualism is that the interaction problem isn't just technically difficult, it's more like a conceptual impossibility. Westfall basically frames it as, asking how a non-physical mind can move a physical body is like asking how a pure thought, which has zero physical properties like mass or force, can push a muscle.
Yeah.
It doesn't just lack an explanation, it seems to violate the very definition of physical causation. It's fundamentally incoherent.
Okay, that really nails why dualism struggles. Now, what about the critique of functionalism, maybe summed up by the Chinese room idea?
Yeah, the key insight there is drawing a sharp line between function and consciousness. A system, like the Chinese room, can perfectly mimic understanding. It can process inputs and produce outputs that look intelligent. It can fulfill the function of understanding. But if there's no actual subjective awareness or grasp of meaning inside just symbol manipulation, then function alone isn't enough for genuine thought or consciousness. Appearance isn't necessarily reality here.
And finally, that ultimate hurdle, the hard problem. How does he capture that?
He emphasizes the distinction between explaining function and explaining experience. Science might eventually explain perfectly how the brain processes light information, leading us to behave as if we see red and say, I see red. That's the so-called easy problem. But the hard problem is the deeper question. Why is that processing accompanied by the private subjective experience of redness? Why isn't it all just dark inside? Why does it feel like something to process that information? That why remains the profound mystery.
It's clear these are deep, persistent problems. So if Westfall shows us all these theories have major flaws, why bother studying them? What's the practical takeaway? How does this apply in the real world?
Oh, the applications are huge, actually. Think about artificial intelligence. This isn't just sci-fi anymore. As we build more sophisticated AI, these philosophical distinctions become critical. Are we aiming to build something that just acts intelligent, like a functionalist system, or something that is genuinely conscious, which means tackling the hard problem? Westfall's analysis gives us the conceptual tools to even ask that question properly, to distinguish between mere simulation and potential sentience.
That makes sense. And what about closer to home, like health?
Definitely. Look at mental health and integrative medicine. Westphal's work reinforces how complex the mind-body link is, pushing back against simplistic views. It supports approaches, like maybe cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, that acknowledge both biological factors, the brain, and experiential ones, thoughts, beliefs, the mind, influence each other. You can't just treat the brain as a machine or the mind as totally separate. Effective treatment often requires seeing them as deeply integrated, even if we don't fully understand the mechanism. It moves us beyond crude reductionism or dualism.
Right, acknowledging that changing thought patterns can physically change the brain, and vice versa.
Exactly. And on an even more personal level, there's personal self-understanding. Reading Westphal really forces you to reflect, what am I? Am I just this physical body that persists through time? Or am I the flow of my conscious experiences, my thoughts and feelings, which seem continuous but are always changing? Grappling with these different philosophical positions on the mind-body problem fundamentally changes how you think about your own existence, your identity, and just how complex being a person really is.
Okay, this has been a fascinating tour through some incredibly challenging ideas. We've seen Westphal dismantle theory after theory. What's the final, most important takeaway he leaves us with?
For me, the deepest insight is the need for intellectual humility and maybe philosophical pluralism. The fact that this problem has persisted for centuries, baffling the greatest minds, tells us something profound. It suggests our current concepts, mind, matter, cause, substance, might just be inadequate for the task. We exist simultaneously as physical objects in the world and as subjects experiencing that world from the inside. Maybe we need entirely new ways of thinking, new conceptual frameworks, rather than trying to keep forcing reality into these old, seemingly broken categories.
That's a powerful point. For me, the big lesson is the importance of skepticism towards simple answers. After seeing how Westphal meticulously picks apart every major sophisticated theory, it makes you realize that any claim you hear, whether it's from pop science saying the brain is just a computer, or maybe simplistic spirituality claiming it's all just consciousness, any claim that says we've easily solved the mind-body problem, well, it should probably be met with a lot of suspicion. The mind is clearly something incredibly complex, arguably more than just computation, and this book really drives home why it's so hard to pin down.
Absolutely. Westphal's work is a fantastic example of philosophy's real value. It's not always about giving the final neat answers, but about asking the right tough questions, challenging our assumptions, and clearly defining the boundaries of what we currently know and what we don't.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acatra Foundation.